Please turn with me to Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 3. Galatians, chapter 3. And I read verse 1 and 2. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? And in verse 5, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So that's my title. Twice in these verses, verse 2 and 5, you find that expression, the hearing of faith. The hearing of faith. We read in Romans 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and what we hear from the word of God. The hearing of faith. So just a few words of introduction before we consider these four verses, starting with verse 2 up to verse 5. My dear friends, Paul is reasoning with the Galatians. And as I said in our previous Bible study, he is reasoning with us also, you and me. He is reasoning with us. He wants to captivate our attention because something important is to be said. And in reasoning with them, he reminds them about the importance of salvation. And he does it here really by in wanting to know one thing about them. Look at it in verse 1, in verse 2. This only would I learn of you. In wanting to know only one thing from them, he asked them probing questions. And as we said, you remember last time we said six questions are before us, trying to elucidate what is going on in the life of the Galatians. And he does it by those probing questions, by reminding them, first of all, the importance of their own salvation. That's the first argument, your salvation. And in looking at those verses, I have four headings, and very simple headings. I list them for you before we dive into them. The first one is really, how is the Holy Spirit received? The reception of the Holy Spirit. The second is the progress by the Holy Spirit. And the third, in these verses, the suffering for the gospel. The believer is called to suffer for the gospel. And fourth, the perseverance in faith. But before I come to the first heading, oh, my dear friends, six questions that could really be summed up. We try to make it simple so that even, I said this to myself, a sermon later, if only I could print it in my mind to remember it during the week and certainly to apply and comply of the things I hear from the Word of God. So the six questions mentioned in five verses can be summed up in just one question. How did you get saved? How did you get saved? By doing something? By performing something? No, not at all. God forbid. I haven't done anything. You haven't done anything. Nothing ritual. Nothing ceremonial. I have done in order to obtain the grace of God. The grace of God, of course, must remain the grace of God. And in doing so, Paul is really speaking to the Galatians. How did you come to faith? How did you get saved? And that's why this is where that expression, the hearing of faith, is important. The hearing of faith, I anticipate, the hearing of faith is really the proclamation of the gospel. The hearing of faith is believing in the gospel, but I add something here. and continuing in the faith by the power of the Spirit. You cannot dissociate the Holy Spirit with salvation and with the Christian life. It is impossible. So I repeat this. Maybe I lost you there, but it is important. The hearing of faith is the proclamation of the gospel. The hearing of faith is believing in the gospel and continuing. We do not stop just at believing, but we continue in believing, but not by ourselves, by the power of the Holy Spirit. So that leads me to the first element tonight. Oh, my dear friends, it is important. We don't often do a study on the Holy Spirit, but I will just give some thoughts here. We dare not really consecrate the time studying of a study of the Holy Spirit, but the first thing is the reception of the Holy Spirit. It is here in verse 2. This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? These are rhetorical questions, we know. Rhetorical questions, the answer is obvious to every question, really. We should also add, oh, foolish Galatians, this only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? When and how does a person receive the Holy Spirit? We must start there. Now, the letter to the Galatians, you can, if I could contaminate you and say, read Galatians every day as we study it, 6 chapters, less than half an hour. But when you read Galatians, the Holy Spirit is mentioned more than 15 times. So last time I said Galatians is a letter about the cross of Calvary, but may I say tonight that Paul's letter to the Galatians is the letter of the Holy Spirit. Only Romans beats Galatians in the number of references about the Holy Spirit. And look at it here in verse 2 to 5, you find the Holy Spirit mentioned 3 times to start with. This is a place where the Holy Spirit is so well mentioned. But you know, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Grace. The Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Glory. We could multiply, really, the names given to the Holy Spirit. And as I said, the Holy Spirit is God, meaning equal to the Father, equal to the Son, though he proceeds from the Father and the Son in Acts chapter 1. But remember, the Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father. It is a promise given by the Father. When you go back to the Old Testament, Joel chapter 2, the book of Ezekiel, and then you come to the New Testament, Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2, these are all evidences and confirmation that the Holy Spirit was already present in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit has always been there because he is God. Back in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, the Holy Spirit was there. So the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God. And as you can see, the Holy Spirit, not just the Spirit, it is not a mere influence, not just a mere power, but God himself, the power of God. And this is the power, we read it in Romans chapter 8. It is also mentioned in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. This is the power that have risen Christ from the dead. And it is the power also, this should melt your heart if you are a proud person. It is this power that has raised you from the dead in order to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But as I said, the Holy Spirit is a promise from the Father. And the outpouring of the Holy Spirit will inaugurate a new era, a new age. the church age, the millennium, if you prefer, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, will be a mark, a sign of the new covenant. And this is mentioned in the book of Ezekiel, but it is also confirmed to us in Hebrews chapter 8. I'm sorry if there are many verses, but this is just to corroborate that these things are all not the preacher's ideas or opinions or thinking, but this is something that you can verify for yourself in the Word of God. So the Holy Spirit will inaugurate that new era. He will inaugurate the church age. The Holy Spirit will inaugurate the new covenant age, and nobody will be in that age. Nobody will be in the church of Jesus Christ. Nobody will be in the kingdom of God without the Holy Spirit. And this is very important when you think about it. You see, in the Old Testament, you have the nation of Israel. There was a kind of mixture there. Believers, non-believers are all together in the nation, and they represent the nation. But when you come to the kingdom of God, that is not the case. Only believers, only those who are born again. John chapter 3, verse 3 and verse 5. Only the born again will be in the kingdom of God. So now, when you think about it, the Holy Spirit, look at it, verse 2. This only would I learn of you. Receive ye. I want you to underline that word, receive ye. The Holy Spirit is to be received. The Holy Spirit is given. You see, we do not manufacture it. We do not make a concoction of it to receive it. It is given. It means what? It is a gift from God. God gives the Holy Spirit. And this is so important. We score nothing. We score nothing. Meaning what? The Holy Spirit as a gift is not a reward of something you have done. It is not a wages that you receive. No contribution. You bring nothing on the table. But my dear friends, I wish I don't spend too much time here, but this is important because there is a confusion in many churches. Now, the Holy Spirit indwells in every Christian. Every Christian. You cannot be a Christian without the Holy Spirit. And may I just, in my small mind, explain this again? Oh, when the Holy Spirit tunes our mind to the gospel, there is that initial conception. Let's call it conception. It is like a seed that is sown in the soil. God waters that seed sown in the soil, leading to what? Leading to repentance and faith. And that's why this is important also. Repentance and faith are not causal. Faith is not the cause. God is the cause. God the Father is the cause. God the Son is the cause. God the Holy Spirit is the cause. Faith is only a channel. Faith is only the empty hand that receives. And this is important when it comes to salvation. And that's why when there is that conception, there is repentance and faith based on the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. There is what? Equal conversion. Equal conversion. And that's why the Holy Spirit, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, the Holy Spirit seals our conversion. The Holy Spirit seals our salvation. That's why it can never be undone. I don't know what people are reading in the Bible when they say a true believer can lose his salvation. That's impossible. Unless you believe in a God who doesn't keep his promises. Unless you believe in a God who really is not able. Or a God who is impotent instead of being omnipotent, as we read from cover to cover. And he is able to keep you. No man can snatch you out of his hand. So the Holy Spirit seals our salvation. Oh, my dear friends, as I said, the Holy Spirit is the agent of our conversion. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no conversion. Without the Holy Spirit, you cannot be a child of God. We read it in Romans 8, verse 8 and 9. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit. Every Christian, if you prefer, has been baptized in the Holy Spirit and given to drink of the Holy Spirit. Given to drink of the Holy Spirit. And the key verse there, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. This is a classic verse, my dear friends. We all have been baptized. When? Was it a second blessing? Never. At the initial time, when you find the Lord Jesus Christ, this is exactly when God baptizes you in the Spirit and you are a child of God. Do you have the Holy Spirit? That's the question Paul is asking the Galatians. And may I ask you, ask myself, do you have the Holy Spirit? Or the answer, has your life been changed? Do you see a transformation in your life? Do you love the Word of God? Oh, yes, you love the Word of God. You love the Lord Jesus Christ. You love the Church of Jesus Christ. Oh, you battle against sin. You fight sin in your daily life. No, sin is not your friend anymore. You fight it to death. Then that is a sign. Is Satan attacking you? Yes, that is a sign. Oh, my dear friends, may I say this again? You heard it many times, but the fact that you are under the scrutiny of Satan with intrusive thoughts, with balancing unto you evil things and even attacking you, making you to doubt, is not a sign that God is not with you. It is actually the opposite. Because I belong to God, because I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, this is why the roaring lion is moving around. Roaring around, circulating, and trying to bring the worst out of me instead of God who wants to bring the best out of me. Satan, that is his work. What do you expect? And when you find the Lord Jesus Christ, your body becomes the temple of the Spirit. Good news. That's what 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19, you have been bought at a price. You do not belong to yourself. Your body belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you by the mercies of God to offer your body as a living sacrifice. So your body doesn't belong to you. It is like the Holocaust. The sacrifice that was given, it was left there and never to be taken back. Your life doesn't belong. I do what I want. When you hear a Christian saying, I do what I want, I think what I want, there is a problem. You are in trouble because you do not belong to yourself. But not only you are the body of the Holy Spirit, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, but good news, you have been given a basket of fruit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 11. These are all the fruits of the Spirit given to you. That basket, when you are born again, it's like a child who is born. When a child is born, he comes with five fingers on his right hand, five fingers on his left hand. He comes complete. It's not in a month's time, oh, he will receive more fingers and so on. No, he comes. God has given to us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. Equipped in order to live the Christian life. You are given that. So Paul is really reasoning with the Galatians in these terms. And in Acts chapter 2, I don't have time to turn you to the verses there. Peter tells us how the Holy Spirit is given. Is it given when you become a Jew? Do I need to become a Jew in order to receive the Holy Spirit? Do I need to perform a dance or a ritual or to fall into trance or to have crazy laughters as some do? No. Nothing to do with the presence of the Holy Spirit. That is gimmicks invented by man to manipulate other men. The Holy Spirit is given freely. In Acts chapter 2, 37, 38, we read how a person received the Holy Spirit. So my dear friends, God, I say this to myself tonight, God must really love you and me. He must really love you and me to give us his Spirit. Romans 5, that the Holy Spirit has been shed abroad in our heart. 1 John chapter 4, verse 13, he gave us his Spirit. Will you give your Spirit to anyone? Oh, that is a sign that God loves us. And the Holy Spirit is only solely where the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is shed. That's why by conversion, you trust in the blood of Christ, the Holy Spirit comes there. By what means, we can say. And Paul is giving us the answer. Not by the law, but the hearing of faith. The hearing of faith. Oh, that's why it is always important to read the word and to hear the proclamation of the word of God. So important. And that's why the Spirit works through the preaching of the word, not through drama, not through gimmicks, not through a band, not through crazy music, never. Only through the hearing of faith, the preaching of the word. That's why preaching should never be disconnected with the Spirit. Oh, my dear friends, even in your personal devotions, when you read the Bible, ask the Spirit who inspired the word to help you to understand the word. That's why the Reformation brought that great principle of the priesthood of all believers. Every Christian, with a little bit of effort, aided by the Holy Spirit, is able to understand the Scriptures. A little bit of effort from your side and my side, with the help of the Holy Spirit, the Scriptures are open. I must come to the second one, which is the progress by the Spirit. How do we progress? My dear friends, look at it in verse 3, where Paul says, are ye so foolish? Second time he tells them, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Rhetorical question again. No, it is impossible to be made perfect by the flesh. Impossible. Salvation received is a sanctification continued by the Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of sanctification. When a sinner responds to the call of the gospel by the hearing of faith, you are embarked, you are enrolled, you are enlisted as a soldier in a great battle. My dear friends, there are only two religions. And the two religions are polar opposite. You know, we don't often say that, but here are the two religions. First, religion of the Spirit. Second, religion of the flesh. The first one, the religion of the Spirit, is fruitful. It's fruitful. We read it in Romans 8. What are the fruit of the Spirit? How do you know somebody is filled with the Holy Spirit? Read Ephesians chapter 5. A husband who loves his wife. A wife who is submitted to her husband. Children who are obeying to their parents. The believer who runs away from the darkness, from the works of darkness. The believer who lives circumspectly. The believer who walks in wisdom. The believer who redeemed the time. You see, these are practical elements which shows that the person is filled with the Holy Spirit. Where is speaking in tongues? You go to Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 45. The 3,000 who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, there, no mention of speaking in tongues. What was mentioned? They loved the word of God. They loved doctrine. They loved to break the breads. They loved to fellowship with one another. They loved to pray together. These are practical elements to show that the person is filled with the Holy Spirit. Not gibberish, which nobody understands. It's deception. The filling of the Holy Spirit. One baptism, many feelings. That's why the confusion. They think there is a second blessing. I don't need one blessing. I need 1,001 blessings, really. But you know the text. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus in the heavenly places. You see, all blessings are given to us. So it's not just about, no need of speaking in tongues. We need practical things, fellowship with God, fellowship with one another, love for one another, witnessing about the gospel. These are practical elements which shows that the Spirit is at work in a person's life. There is no way to live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit, and there is no way to live as a Christian without the Holy Spirit. My dear friends, we battle with time when it comes to these things, but remember, the Holy Spirit regenerates. The Holy Spirit vivifies. The Holy Spirit sanctifies. The Holy Spirit guides. The Holy Spirit comforts. The Holy Spirit leads into a newness of life. But remember, the Holy Spirit is shy. The Holy Spirit is withdrawn. The Holy Spirit is not ostentatious. The Holy Spirit doesn't promote himself. He promotes the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yes, in your personal devotions, you can pray to the Holy Spirit. But in public, we give glory to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the sequence given to us in the Word of God. So the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. The Holy Spirit empowers us. And we are called to walk by the Spirit, not to grieve the Spirit, not to quench the Spirit. We are made perfect, mature by the presence of the Holy Spirit as we cooperate. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. The Spirit is in you. Keep receiving the Spirit. And be filled with the Spirit. It is a command. Ephesians 5 verse 18. There is no command in the Bible to be baptized by the Holy Spirit because God does it. But there is a command to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I must come to the third heading. First heading, the reception of the Holy Spirit. The second, we make progress in our Christian life in sanctification by the Holy Spirit, and we cooperate with the Holy Spirit. We do not just sit back and say, let God let go. The Holy Spirit will do it for me. He will not do it for you. You cooperate. There is a synergy, and the Holy Spirit blesses the sinner and the redeemed Christian. Thirdly, look at the suffering for the gospel. Oh, my dear friends, the Galatians have suffered. That is in verse 4. In verse 4, have you suffered? And the word suffered there in Greek could really be translated by have ye experienced? Have ye experienced so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain. You see how Paul speaks hypothetically. It cannot be vain. That is impossible. And the Galatians, we don't have time to read that from Acts chapter 13. The believers have suffered so much persecution because of their faith, because of the witness of the gospel. And you too. Second Timothy says, everyone who wants to live a holy life will be persecuted. It is a part of the package that God is given to us at conversion. Oh, my dear friends, the Galatians have suffered for their faith. But if all that suffering has happened for nothing, what's the point? What's the point of it? If there will be, the Holy Spirit didn't dwell in them, they only had an empty profession. But what about us? If we have suffered in vain, the zeal, your zeal, the outreach, the many sermons, thousands of sermons you heard, the tracts you have given, the time you spend in prayer, all the mockery, the scoffing at doorsteps when you witness to people. Oh, if Christ did die in vain, what's the point? It's all worthless, all the pains and the ache. But thank God it is not in vain. Christ was risen from the dead. He is sitting at the right hand of God the Father. And now we suffer for a short time in order to enter into the kingdom of God. No one suffers, my dear friends, for something he knows is not true. Nobody will do that. But you see, did Christ die in vain? Did Paul suffer in vain? Of course not. My dear friends, before I come to the last point, remember, the Lord Jesus Christ is calling us. There is a cost to pay when we follow him. And many, many do not want to pay that price. He said, take your cross and follow me. And I believe the greatest gift you can give to a sinner is not gold and silver. Christ crucified on the cross of Calvary, the gospel of redeeming grace, is the greatest gift we have to offer to people. I must come to the last element. Look at the perseverance in faith. You see, the Holy Spirit is received. We progress in the Christian faith by the Spirit. We suffer in our Christian walk, but then what? There is perseverance. I believe those four headings resume and put together all the Christian life. Look at it here in verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Genuine faith contends for the truth and always perseveres. Genuine faith perseveres. God perseveres. We persevere. Actually, verse 5 is the same question asked in verse 2 in different order. But here, it is in the present tense. Meaning what? That God in our present life is ministering. The word ministering there is really serving. He's serving the Holy Spirit to you and me so that we keep going in our Christian life. You are not left by yourself. Otherwise, you wouldn't stand a day in the Christian life. We have God with us. And the Galatians, as I said, Paul tells us that miracles happened among them in Pisidia, in Lystra, in Iconium. There were many miracles. And even the sign gift of an apostle, as Paul will say in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, the Galatians have seen the signs of an apostle in their lives. They have seen in Lystra how the Lord raised Paul from the dead. He died, I believe, but God raised him from the dead. And one of the miracles we see today is the conversion. Conversion is a miracle, my dear friends. It is a miracle. God still works miracles. How? By the prayers of his people, not by the so-called man of God, not by apostles, no more apostles. He works miracles through the prayers of his children, you and me. That's why prayer is so important. The Galatians have seen also the gift of grace, and they have seen the hearing of faith, that is the preaching of the gospel, and the gift of the fruit of the Spirit. My dear friends, having begun by faith, we walk by faith and we persevere by the hearing of faith, maintaining good works, the works of witness, the work of Christian character, the works of compassion, the works of intercession, the works of praise to the Lord. All these are good works that a born-again believer who is persevering in his faith is able to perform. Oh, perseverance is the irrefutable evidence of conversion. Please allow me to close. This section, go back to it again. Five verses, it is a Trinitarian section. Our salvation is the work of the Godhead. The Godhead is working in us and for us. Oh, my dear friends, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Have the Holy Spirit as your friend, as your companion, as your comforter, as your teacher, as your advocate. Do not quench the Holy Spirit by sin, by disobedience. These things will bring God's judgments upon you and me. We want to live a holy life, to be instrumental in the life of other people. Understanding the cross of Calvary perfects our faith. And if somebody doesn't understand the gospel, you get the gospel wrong, everything will be wrong. And that is why any doctrine, go and study the cross of Calvary. Anything you don't understand, even the puzzling, you hear so many conspiracies, go to the cross and you will find the answer. Really, it is there you will find the answer of everything, because there all is leveled. And the Savior, God himself, in the person of Jesus Christ, our Savior, gave himself for us. A person who turns to anything but Christ is turning to vanity. But my dear friends, Christ did not die in vain. The Christian faith is not in vain. The gospel is not in vain. It is the power of God unto salvation. Our labor, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, is not in vain. God will reward your labor. In him, in Christ, we are more than conquerors. So this is the reception of the Spirit, the progress by the Spirit, the suffering for the gospel, and the perseverance in faith.